time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is Thursday, which means one very important thing. We're live at our crew of Katie's. Today's location, imagine that, Katie's over in Iberville. Look at this. Look at this.
Chefs,
it's just you
and
me, man.
I know.
This is so nice. It's a very positive start
to the show. I told Katie
to
come in at 2:50.
You did. In our group text, Chef Scotty legitimately text Mr. Forkade. Just go ahead and show up at 2:50. I say, well, it doesn't take that long to say the Saints suck.
Right.
Pelicans suck. Fire
everything
Griffin,
sucks.
Trade Zion.
Everything sucks.
What else does he say?
I don't know. Just everything
around
sucks.
That, yeah. LSU stinks.
LSU, oh, of course LSU stinks.
Of course LSU stinks here as well.
He's got no ground.
Everyone's overrated.
Right? The LSU basketball team's a joke.
Yeah.
Which they're in the middle of a complete rebuild.
Did we kind of cover a segment? We kind of just covered.
We covered
2 hours and 50 minutes.
In 20 seconds.
800-998 is the way to chime into the conversation. We'd love for you to come on in and be a part of the show today as we are live over here in Iberville. And here it comes. You know, it's so crazy how literally like 1 second we have space. And what I mean by that is like, you know, it's nice and empty. And I don't mean nice and empty, but say like then, before we get going, and then boom, lunchtime. It's here as well. I'm very proud of myself. I finally got at least some of my lunch in before the show. Normally it takes me like 2.5 hours. See, we only have a three-minute break.
You ate half a sandwich.
I ate half of the
shrimp
po' boy.
Oh, you got smart. You ordered when you got here.
I did. It is so good, man. What kind of batter do you use here? I mean, it's just
corn flour and cornmeal.
So I know, but it tastes.
And we use our seasoning.
You can tell the freshness. I know that's something that you harp on a ton. Probably doesn't make your life easier, because it costs more to get fresh stuff than you can go get it in the freezer and all that other stuff. But you harp on that all the time, especially here with Louisiana, man. You get Louisiana stuff, Louisiana fish, Louisiana, you know, seafood, because it's so key, because you're helping people that actually do that for a living here as well. But you can taste fresh shrimp as opposed to frozen shrimp.
There's no question.
You really honestly can.
And you can taste whether they're Asian shrimp or they're Gulf shrimp.
What would you say is the biggest difference? I've heard it's chewier.
They're chewy.
Rubbery.
It's the same thing with the crawfish tails.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're not back there peeling crawfish crawfish dishes.
Uh-huh.
We buy packaged
crawfish
tails that are packed in the fat.
Yep.
And in Asia, in Asia and Spain or wherever they come from, they do not package them in the fat, so they get tough. And I'm pretty sure they're tough to begin with. They're just, you know, I just believe in using local products, and I've always thought that we've had the greatest bounty of seafood in the country until I went to the Pacific Northwest, but it's, you know, we've got a lot down here that we can use, and there's no reason to use frozen or foreign seafood.
When I go to local grocers here as well to get, like, some crawfish tails to make a dish, and I sent you a photo of, you know, putting a little shrimp in and all that, get the fresh shrimp, peel the heads, do it all myself, and the crawfish tails, and every said that, I do. There's two companies that right there here in New Orleans, and then there's one over in Lafayette that they sell at a local grocer I go to, and I've looked to see what looks yellow. Gotta have
yes.
that fat in there. Yeah. So now that you
yes.
said that, there
it's
is
crucial.
One I absolutely pick now, and you're
crucial.
Right. It absolutely
crucial.
Tastes the flavor because you just grab it, cut it open, and just put
crucial.
It in the pan, baby.
But if you do clean your own shrimp and you do clean your own crawfish, don't throw that stuff away. Throw it in a pot. And make a stock.
See, I like when it comes to like the shrimp and all that stuff, you know, and Anna's like, you gotta devein this, and I'm like, man, it just takes so long.
Just eat it.
So do you devein your shrimp at home? Sometimes?
No.
No.
We devein them here
because
people don't like poop.
I know, but you're
but
still
I'm like,
around.
What are they eating? It's not like they're eating disgusting things.
I never really thought about it.
No.
You know, I just kind of just.
They're just eating
eat
other sea creatures and very clean sea creatures. They're in water.
I love it. Buddy says he never the veins as well. You want to get all the nutrition out of the sea. There you go. Buddy's a true Cajun.
4K said they'd listen if he did the whole show by himself.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sugarcoating a damn thing. Problem with the media in this town. Nothing but sucking up. We could just read his text.
We could. But it's already negative, right?
But the whole thing's negative. I mean, it's like, you know, I knew when the Saints signed Chase Young.
Yeah.
That there was some stipulation in it.
You thought
Some injury. I told you that when he signed him.
Right.
When they signed him, that there was some stipulation in the contract for injuries. You know, nobody's going to sign a guy with his injury history and just hope for the best and guarantee all that money.
It's interesting you say that because that's the one thing we can touch on here as well. We've got a handful of topics, as we said here quickly, is your guest list. This hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast, kayaks. They got them there as well. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie, nowakeoutfitters.com. One of the things that we'll touch on today, obviously, is the NCAA tournament. It is off and running. Duquesne and BYU, you have on one TV. You got Michigan State, Mississippi State on another TV.
Coach Schless is coming at 1:30 with a bunch of guys, and they're all going to watch the game upstairs.
So, Jack Benjamin, you know, covers a lot of college basketball, does the voice of the Colonel, stuff like that, knows McNeese very well. McNeese, they'll be playing here in the tournament as a 12th seed, and then Leo Haggerty is going to join us. We'll probably get Coach Sluss if he wants to, you know, give his thoughts here as well.
No, he's here to have fun.
How many brackets have you filled out?
Just one.
Just one? So, you have the one sheet of integrity.
I do. I'm just not.
Who you got?
That is such a shot in the dark, man. You just never know. I've got UConn. I've got Purdue winning the whole thing.
I got UConn and Marquette in the national championship game, UConn winning.
I've got Purdue and UConn in the championship.
Hit edit. Yeah, I feel like I'm talking to my dad here. You took it upside down. Hit edit.
Right.
Hit crop. Hit that little button over here, and then that way you can fix it. His photo should be landscape, and it's not. There it is. Look, now it's fixed.
Thank you, Gus.
Yeah, there it is.
I've got UConn. I've got Mississippi State going to the Elite Eight.
You've got Mississippi State to the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Against.
They are trailing.
Against
Michigan State at the half, 31-24. These games are in action right now. 10:36 in the first. Duquesne 17, BYU 7. Duquesne is an 11 seed, BYU a 7 seed. So the very early makings of an upset there. Elsewhere, we got a couple of other games that will be in action here as well. So throughout the day, and I do love the one thing that they did do is they put a game on every, like, TBS, TNT, True TV, and what is it, Crime TV or something?
Yeah.
CBS, there it is.
61.
So you do have a bunch of different stations that have it. So on CBS, you got Michigan State and Mississippi State. Or if you have the app, you can always just click the game. You have the CBS Sports app or the March Madness app?
Yeah.
It's free. The March Madness app, you can do it. You can watch all the games, too, as well. Not that I'm telling you to do that at work. Right. I'm just telling you, you can do that. On True TV, Duquesne and BYU. On TNT's Akron and Creighton coming up at 12:30. Who do you have in that one? A lot of people think that Creighton could be the best team on that side of the bracket.
I've got Creighton, but then I've got them losing to... Okay, where's my Creighton one? I've got Creighton losing to South Carolina.
One of the things that's very intriguing, we haven't really talked about it too much so far in the show because there was, you know, a lot of news so far this week when it comes to the Saints, the Pelicans, now 16 games above 500. We'll get into that as they get back to action tonight. But at 1 o'clock on TBS, Long Beach State and Arizona. Mm-hmm. You know the story about this, don't you?
No, I don't.
Long Beach State and Arizona? Mm-hmm. You don't?
No, I'm all ears.
You know their head coach got fired. End of the season?
Long Beach State.
Yeah.
In Arizona. Where?
They allowed him to coach the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what he did?
He won.
They won the tournament.
They won the tournament.
So they're the NCAA tournament taking on Arizona.
With a fired coach.
And with a fired coach who did his press conference yesterday. He has no players next. He's a fired coach. Wait, they took away like his health care, everything. All right, it's the guy who used to coach Gonzaga, Monson. And the new coach, he was like, I can't believe they did. This guy's coaching the team in the tournament.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He has like nothing. He's done. They cut ties, but they're letting him still.
They're going to lose.
I'm just saying, though.
It's a nice story.
I mean, it's unbelievable. When that happens like that. So anyway, I guess I'm kind of rooting for Long Beach State.
What was their record during the season?
Record during the regular season for Long Beach State is 21-14.
So why'd they fire?
Arizona is 25-8.
But why'd they fire?
Because he didn't win enough. Didn't win enough.
Winning's not everything.
I'm just telling you. Now the line is a 20-point favorite.
Yeah.
For the
Cats.
The Cats. So, anyway, that's an interesting tidbit in that game. Could you imagine if they upset in that game? That happens. Coming up at 1:45, Wagner, who won one of the play-in games, taking on North Carolina. Now, I've got North Carolina going to the Final Four.
I do, too, I think. No, I don't.
You don't?
I've got, I've seen North Carolina play. I don't see them as a Final Four team.
At 2:10 on True TV. By the way, the Wagner UNC game is on CBS. At 2:10, True TV, Morehead State taking on Illinois. Illinois is a 3 seed. Morehead State. Illinois is an 11.5-point favorite there. Who do you have on that one?
Illinois.
That's right. Oregon and South Carolina is an interesting one. 3 o'clock on TNT. The Duckies won the final Pac-12 conference championship.
Yep.
Why not? They're favored by a point and a half. You got Carolina. Oregon's the 11th seed. South Carolina, 6th seed. At 3:30, 10th seed in Nevada. Number 7, Dayton.
I've got Dayton going pretty deep.
Do you?
That's a good team.
That was one of those teams that you kind of just remember bracket time, right? Yep. 5:50, TNT, 10th-ranked Colorado State. They also want to play in game. Taking on number 7, Texas. I feel like with Texas, they can either be good or bad. Like, there's no in between.
They do. I don't have Texas going very far. I've got them losing to Tennessee.
6:10 on CBS, 14th-seeded Oakland, 3rd-seeded Kentucky. 6:10 CBS. I got the Wildcats going to the Final Four.
I do not have the Wildcats anywhere close to that. They don't play defense.
Okay.
And teams that generally do well in the tournament play defense. And the Cats don't play defense.
Taking a look at the one after that, 6:25 TBS. There he is, Billy the Kid, Will Wade. There's some speculation that there could be another
I've got him winning
waiting
today.
At Vandy, I saw somebody. Again, I don't know if that's true or not, but
I think it is.
12-seeded McNeese against 5th-seeded Gonzaga.
I've got McNeese
winning
today.
That would be the mother
today.
Of all upsets. In terms of, you don't think it would be the mother of all upsets?
No.
You don't think Willie the Kid?
Gonzaga is not that great this year. And this team is really good.
I've seen them up close in person. I know.
I've seen them up close.
They have what it takes to win a game.
I do.
Against Gonzaga. And you're right. Gonzaga doesn't have the.
And then the problem is if they beat the Zags, they would have to play. Gosh, man. I just did this, too. I'm pitiful. Which bracket are they on? McNeese. I don't know. I've just got them winning a game. Here it is. So, and then they got to play Kansas.
How good do you think Kansas is, though, this year?
They're okay.
Okay.
They're not great. But I think McNeese will beat Gonzaga.
I don't think they can beat Kansas,
all right, too.
South Dakota State at 6:35 on True TV taking on Iowa State. Lots of people think this is a team that can at least go to the Final Four, if not maybe the Elite Eight to play for
Iowa
the
State's
Final Four.
Iowa State's very good.
At 8:20 on TNT, St. Peter's taking on the 2-seed Tennessee. They were going to be a 1-seed until they're...
Right.
Their, I guess, performance in the SEC tournament lost them that 1 seed.
You know,
do you think they can regain
don't
that
get
capture?
Up for tournaments.
Okay, I'm just,
you know.
They're 21.5-point favorites there. NC State, the 11th seed, taking on Texas Tech, a 6 seed, 8:40 CBS. You like the Red Raiders there? Do you like NC State?
The Red Raiders.
Okay. There's
Texas
Samford
Tech's
in Kansas, 8:55 TBS, if you are a Jayhawk fan. Kansas, right?
I've got Texas Tech beating Kentucky.
In the last game tonight, 9:05 True TV, 10-seeded Drake taking on the 7-seed Washington State. You like the Cougars? How are you going with Drake?
You know, think I took Drake.
East region.
I did.
To the East region.
I took Drake.
You took Drake?
I've got
you
Drake.
You got a couple upsets today. Okay.
I've got Drake to beating Washington State and then losing to Iowa State.
All right. We'll get you off and running there. All right. Two games are currently in action. The next one starts at 12:30. In 15 minutes, Akron and Creighton will keep you updated with the scores. At the half, Michigan State leading Mississippi State 31-24. 5:40 in the first half, Duquesne 24, BYU 20. We'll take our first break of the day. When we come back, Will Guillory will join us on the Ruderman Can caller and guest hotline. 800-998-1003, RuderManCan.com. Your Pelicans back in action tonight, taking on Orlando. Tomorrow, Miami, a back-to-back in the state of Florida. Can the Pelicans continue their winning ways? We'll ask when we come back next on ESPN New Orleans.
Tom. That was very exciting, but we got to keep building. Talked about it beginning of the season, middle of the season, and now we're coming towards the end of the season. We just got to keep getting better. Because we want to be a contender, we got to keep getting better with those small nuances in the game.
That is Zion Williamson following the last time the team got on an accord and won back on Tuesday. Team now getting ready to take on Orlando and Miami tomorrow. Back-to-back games in the state of Florida. We go to our double agent who covers the Pelicans and the Heat for the Athletic, Mr. Will Guillory, who happens to be Scott Gregg.
Yes.
Hey, brother, Martin Gregg.
I know.
There
I used to listen to you every morning, bro.
There it is.
What's up, man?
Had to do that, Will, for Jim Eichenhoff, who was giving us grief on the podcast yesterday, and I know the Graf is listening, and he's a Jesuit alum, so go Saters. Let's start with kind of one of the things we talked about that was a big topic yesterday in the pod. Win number 42. I know there's a lot of games here left, 14. There's a hope, obviously, of winning a series and getting in there and all of that. But to be able to match last year's win total now, can you compare and at least contrast the teams? Like, why is this a different team than the team that won 42 games last season?
Yeah, I think the obvious answer is, of course, just health, right? Having all of these guys available for most of the season. Zion Williamson, in particular, being able to play, you know, was looking like going to be the most games he's ever played in a season is massive. Not just having those guys in the lineup, but giving them an opportunity to just develop chemistry, learning how to play together, giving Willie Green an opportunity to figure out how to put these guys in the best position to win. So, I think that's the biggest thing for this season is just finally having all of these guys available for long periods of time, and then we've been able to see just how good their depth is, how many good players they have, how many different lineups they can throw out there. I think that's been the two biggest things.
Yeah, hey, Will, Scotty Craig.
How you doing?
I'm awesome, bro. I'm awesome. I know this team. I want to believe in this team. I really do. But in, you know, recent past, you know, they've gone on runs against teams they're supposed to beat. And I realize they're beating those teams this year when they didn't last year. I'm really, really, really using these two games as a barometer as how I believe in this team or not. Because they need to show that they can beat Miami and certainly Orlando tonight.
Well, you say certainly. I said this to Will yesterday. They have more wins than Miami.
I know.
I understand what Chef is saying here, Will. We kind of touched on it yesterday, almost that PTSD sort of thing, right?
That's exactly what it is.
Hey, we've seen them do this, but somebody's going to get injured. Hey, we've seen them do this, but they're going to get a win.
It's a New Orleans thing.
Along the lines of what I just asked you, though, why is this team maybe better suited to avoid long losing streaks or to be able to beat good teams? Why do you think?
Yeah, I would say, first off, I mean, Zion Williamson is just playing at an incredible level right now. I mean, we've seen him be very good. We've seen him be great in New Orleans, but I've said this before. I think this is the best basketball he's playing in his entire career. And I think having that piece gives you an opportunity to win every night. And if anything, it gives you an advantage over most teams. And I think that's what you've seen in a lot of these games. You can see in the first quarter where the teams just have no answer for him whatsoever. And I think that gives you such an advantage, not just what he does, but it creates opportunities for others. You've seen these games where Trey Murphy will hit 10 three-pointers, Herb Jones will hit 5 three-pointers, CJ McCollum has 7 three-pointers. It's because teams have to collapse so much just to have any opportunity of stopping Zion Williamson. So that's the first thing. But yeah, I agree with my man Scotty Craig. I think, first off, not only the Heat game, I think when you come back home and you have that long stretch where you play Oklahoma City, Boston, Phoenix, they have a stretch where they play some of the best teams in the NBA. I think we're going to learn a lot about these teams. This team, especially coming back from the road trip, having that long homestand, being able to play in front of their home crowd, big games, a whole lot of eyes are going to be on those games. I think we're going to learn a lot about this team because, yeah, they beat up on some bad teams, but they have an opportunity to show what they can do against the better teams coming up.
Yeah, I've called it the gauntlet, Will. To the point, Orlando's 41-28. Miami's 38-31. Here's the other element that's just added to this. And again, look, I don't think the commissioner could have loved this any better. I don't think if you're a true NBA fan, you can want it any more, too. Every game means something every night. I'm watching last night. Hell's got no help on the scoreboard. But the teams you just mentioned that they're playing, they're all in the postseason sands like, you know, the Spurs and Raptors. But the Spurs have Victor Wembanyama, who's playing incredibly well. But every other team, and I mentioned this to Will yesterday, Chef Scotty, the Miami Heat, they're a half game out of six. There's a difference between six and seventh, right? Aren't the Pels trying to get inside the six? Exactly. They want to be out of the play-in.
No
Orlando
doubt.
Is a half game behind the Knicks for four. That would guarantee them home court in the first round. And I can go on and on when you talk about OKC, when you talk about Boston, when you talk about Milwaukee. All of these teams, they have standing implications on the line as well. So when the Pels take to the court from here on out, Will, maybe sans a game or two, every game means just as much to the team they're playing as to the Pelicans.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's going to be playoffs. Pretty much, you know, many playoffs from here on out for the Pels. Because a lot of these games, I mean, you didn't even mention Phoenix, right? They got Phoenix twice, who's fighting to get up there to that sixth spot. So those games are going to be massive. I think, you know, they got so many big games the rest of the way, and I think it's going to be a really good test for this team. I think you saw, you know, the year that they did it make it to the playoffs when they beat the Clippers in the play-in, so many of those games leading into the play-in felt like playoff games, and I think that played a big part in them having the poise that they showed during the play-in tournament. So, yeah, I think this is going to be really important for the team, but also for Zion, right? We always got to remind ourselves that this is a dude who's never played in the playoffs. He didn't even play in the play-in the past couple years. So all of this is new to him and playing in these environments, and, of course, eyes are on him more than ever now because of the way he's playing. So I think it's going to be important for him to experience these environments, to experience what it's like to play against Boston when they're locked in, play against Milwaukee when they're locked in, because he's got to see what it's like before they get into this playoffs. And I think it's going to be, you know, something really huge for him. And I think he's excited about it. I think it's a real great opportunity for him, and I think he's feeling good about himself right now.
I think it's going to be key for this team. It's easy to say CJ. I mean, obviously I saw a stat that if he hits a couple of threes, they tend to win. Brandon Ingram's playing great defense, and he shows he can score as well. Zion's playing great. Am I wrong in thinking that perhaps the key to the Pels securing a top six or higher seed is going to be dependent on somebody not named those three players?
Yeah, I think a lot of times you see who the tone setters end up being are Trey Murphy and Herb Jones. I think those are the two guys. When Trey's hitting shots, you know, one of my favorite stats is when he makes four threes, I think they've won 13 in a row or something like that. And yeah, I think when he's shooting the ball well, it opens up the offense so much. And he's, you know, scoring in transition. He gives them some size, some versatility on the defensive end. So when he's playing well, it's really important. And we all know what Herb Jones brings. I mean, one of the best defenders in the NBA, first team all defense. When he's locked in, when he's bringing the energy, when he's locking down the other team's best guy, you see it lift up Zion, B.I. Those guys respond to Herb. I think you're exactly right. We talk about the big three all the time, but Trey Murphy and Herb Jones, I think, are the tone setters. When this team is great, it's usually because those two guys are playing well.
All right, help us preview here, sir, because Chef Scotty, he's just said he's a little nervous around these two games, but
I want him to win so bad.
Understandable.
I hear you. Look, I'd be happy with the split. I'd love two wins. I'd be happy with the split. These are two very good teams. Again, I probably think people are surprised Orlando has more wins than Miami. Give us matchups that you think we need to keep an eye on. Like tonight, is it Banchero and his size and the Magic are kind of bigger maybe than most people think? And I mean, tomorrow it's just simple. Tomorrow, to me, it's who mentally is going to win. It's going to be like a fight because I still remember Jimmy Butler saying he can't wait until the Pelicans show up to their place. He ain't going to forget nothing with Najee Marshall and Jose. So preview these two games for us, man.
Yeah, I mean, first off, with Orlando, I think that Paolo Banchero matchup you mentioned is going to be really important, because I think that's maybe the one hole the Pels have in their rotation, is they don't really have big forwards who can deal with guys like that. I think the one time we saw it recently, we saw Zion Williamson guarding Kawhi Leonard, and I think it'll be interesting if Zion takes that matchup on tonight, just because I think he's probably the best guy they have to deal with somebody with that type of size. As much as I love Herb and Trey, they just don't have the muscle to deal with a guy like Paolo Banchero. So I think that's something I'm keeping an eye on in that game. And in Miami, you mentioned it. I mean, that's going to be a dogfight. Jimmy's going to be hyped for that game. I'm sure Najee's going to be chopping his gums. I'm sure Jose Alvarado is going to be out there talking some smack. But with Miami, you know, they're dealing with a lot of injury issues right now. Jimmy just came back from an injury. Bam missed their game last night due to a back issue. We'll see if Bam will be able to play in that game. Duncan Robinson is dealing with some injury issues right now. Tyler Hero hasn't played since that game in New Orleans. So they're dealing with a lot right now, and they've, you know, gone through some struggles. But we know how Miami is, especially in games they kind of circle on their calendar. So I think that'll be big. And you mentioned, I mean, it's kind of a no-duh thing, but they got to deal with Jimmy Butler in that game. They know he's going to come out roaring. He's going to want to send a statement in that game to his team. And the Pels are going to have to find a way to respond, because before the fight, well, people forget about that Miami game, is Jimmy Butler was killing the Pels in that game. He was playing some unbelievable ball before him and Najee decided to just have a choke slam fight in the middle of the game. So I think dealing with him and his emotion and his ability just to turn a game on his head by himself is going to be really important in that Miami game.
Well, Will, I can tell you this, because I know the Graph is listening. Everyone you just mentioned that could be injured or hasn't played, you know they're playing tomorrow in Miami.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The Graph will say the healing Wallers of South Beach or whatever, or the Pelicans. And also, he just pointed out the last time the Pels won in Miami, I have a 7-year-old.
2020.
Carver was one. 2017,
oh my God.
Years is the last time they have won in Miami, Will. So how about to try to go get tonight? And tonight ain't easy.
That, 5-second call from last year in his head the same way I can against Dyson. That was tough.
Yeah, speaking of Dyson, you should have him back here soon. How big will that be to add to the defensive side of the basketball?
I think it'll be massive. As much as we love Herb Jones, I think having Herb and Dyson gives this team a dynamic that pretty much nobody else in the league has, two elite defenders. And I think having Dyson on the ball allows Herb to wreak havoc off the ball, which I think a lot of times is Herb at his best when he's able to help from the weak side, playing those passing lanes. And I think Dyson on the ball, I think, is one of the best in the whole NBA. So I think he's going to be a huge addition once he gets back. I think getting him back in the rhythm offensively is going to be interesting, because his offenses a lot of times will kind of sabotage his impact. But, yeah, having him with Herb on the court, I think gives the Pels something that nobody else in the league has.
I don't even know if this would work, but I just had like a fantasy basketball or NBA 2K sort of moment, because I'm thinking length, I'm thinking size, too, is here as well. Could we ever see a lineup, again, matchups in the postseason? Could be just, you know, some guys, some scores, but we've seen Brandon Ingram's defense be really good. Imagine like ZBI, Trey, Dyson, and Herb. I mean, those are some long players there.
ZBI is playing better defense.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, could you see a lineup with those guys out there? Because now you're talking shot blockers, guys that are long, can defend on the perimeter, and then once they get either a steal or a rebound, they're off and running, and all five of those guys can go put it in the hole.
No, I think you're on the money, and I think one of the things we haven't seen as much since Dyson's been hurt is those lineups with Zion at the five, and I think Willie liked to go to those lineups when he had Dyson out there to match with Herb, and I think a lot of times they've really struggled just defensively and rebounding when they have Zion at the five, and I think bringing Dyson back really give them, you know, more options, more of an ability to play smaller, just to give a different dynamic to things. And I think that's something that, you know, we haven't talked about enough this year with Willie Green. It's just how much he's been willing to throw out different lineups, different matchups, using all of this depth. We talk about how much talent this team has from top to bottom. I think Willie Green has done a much better job of using those guys and putting them in different positions this year. Getting Dyson back, I think, is going to give them much more optionality, you know, with their lineups and what they can do with Herb, what they can do with Zion. So it'll be big, but I still think, you know, it'll take him some time to get right, and I think it's really hard. We talked about this a lot a couple years ago with Zion trying to come back during this time of the year where teams are so locked in. I think it's much more difficult than a lot of people realize.
Will Guillory, as always, man, appreciate the time. Safe travel. Chef Scotty is going to be making his way over there to Miami. And
I am.
Yeah, he is.
Where am I going?
No.
Will's going.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Have fun, Will.
Will, safe travels, man.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see what happens now. You ready? Jack Benjamin's going to tell us why. Maybe, does he agree with you? Can McNeese win today? Duquesne trying to pull off an upset. 33-27 over BYU. Still in the first half before halftime. We'll update you on the other score here as well. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. It is our One to Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie, NoWakeOutfitters.com. Who will win a kayak race between Chef Scotty and Jack Benjamin? Jack Benjamin BXP over there on X. Jack, have you been on a kayak before?
I've been on a kayak, and you know, Gus, I've actually called some kayak racing, too. So, I don't know. I don't love my chances, but I think I can hold up.
I love that.
Yeah, I don't like my chances either.
Would they bring a bracket challenge of kayak racing if that was the case?
I guess. Dude, Mississippi State's getting smoked.
Hey, Jack, two games are on their way. A third one's about to start here at any minute at 12:30. McNeese plays later here as well. We're going to get to specifics on that because obviously you got to see them up close and personal this year. But just your overall thoughts as we head into the first full day. We've had 2 days of play-in games. Grambling State, congrats to the Tigers.
Yeah, man.
Yesterday.
Do you realize 11 years ago they were 0-28?
That's unreal.
Yeah, I'm so happy
Jack,
for them.
Jack, kind of start with that, man. How big? I mean, those play-in games, we've seen different schools. You would know how to do it before.
Yep.
Just to get into the dance, how big a thing do you think that is?
Oh, it's gigantic. I'll tell you what, Dante Jackson, you guys were mentioning what Grambling did in the first four. I don't think people can put in perspective the job that he's done there, man. It has been absolutely remarkable. And this thing, look, they've gone, I think they're 29-7 in the SWAC over the last couple of years. He's done a remarkable job there. That's amazing. And, yeah, look, day one of the NCAA tournament, Gus, I've said this for a long, long time, Thursday and Friday of the opening week of the NCAA tournament, at what point are we going to make this a national holiday? I can tell you that every single year when I was growing up, I'd have a laptop or I'd have something. I wasn't paying attention to school. We're all, you know, they have like this function on the March Madness app where you go into business mode and you act like you're work. I mean, come on, just make it a holiday for people so we can all watch these games. Nothing beats these first couple days of March Madness. It's amazing. And, yeah, look, these teams who are able to get there for the first time or able to, you know, seek their first NCAA tournament win. I mean, I'm watching Duquesne right now. I don't know how many people know this. Duquesne hasn't been in the NCAA tournament in 48 years. Their coach Keith Dambruss retiring. He's been doing this so long. He coached LeBron James in high school at St. Vincent St. Mary's. Now in his final year as a college coach, Duquesne's in the NCAA tournament. So nothing beats this time of year.
48 years. Wow, that's incredible. No, and that's the thing, too,
that's
right?
That's almost as many surgeries as John's had.
Well, as 4K walks in here, we'll try to get him a seat. But no, Jack, to that point, look, obviously, different programs have different goals and situations and such, but that still is and can be a big thing, right? To be able to go dancing, to be able to get in there, and then you never know. You might be this year's Cinderella, things like that. Is there a team or two that you think could, carry the moniker Cinderella this year?
Yeah, I got a couple for you. You know, I know you were teasing, you know, McNeese off the top. I'll get to them in a second. First one I want to mention to people is James Madison. You know, I think that, you know, people kind of lost sight of the Dukes a little bit because they beat Michigan State very early on in the season. And then all JMU did is go 31-30, Gus, over the course of the year. They're a 12 seed. They're playing a Wisconsin team that just made the Big Ten tournament title game and lost to Illinois. But I think they've got a really well-balanced team. They're experienced. They've got a great coach. They just, you know, dominated a pretty good Sun Belt conference, in my opinion, for the most part this year. So, you know, I think that's a team that can really, really make some noise in a bracket that, look, frankly, they're in Brooklyn. Duke has fans all over. Duke's going to travel well to Brooklyn. I think Duke handles Vermont today, but I don't see why JMU can't pull off the upset and knock off Duke in that region in Brooklyn. And then, look, you know Houston very well from their time in the American. I had a lot of respect for Kelvin Sampson and what he's done with the Cougars, but can JMU be that kind of team to go on a little run? If, you know, Houston is not always the best when it comes to shooting. I mean, look, Iowa State just put it on Houston in the
in the Big 12 tournament, you know, in the Big 12 tournament title game and just obliterated them because Houston isn't always great offensively. So can JMU be a Cinderella? Absolutely. I'll look at them as one of those possible candidates. You know, another team, another one too, and this one's a little bit trickier to kind of roll on because so many people are starting to pick it, but, you know, New Mexico ran through the Mountain West tournament. We found out later they would not have been in the field unless they won the Mountain West. You know, you get your at-large qualifiers. You've got your automatic qualifiers. Had they not won the Mountain West, they would have been in the first four, which is amazing because all their metrics tell you that they are vastly underseeded by, you know, how good they are as an 11 seed. And they played Clemson in round one. They've got a Baylor team potentially if they can get by that one in round two, a Baylor team that has had inconsistencies this year. So I look at them as a team that could really make a run. Look, they've got Arizona in that bracket too. What's Arizona done over the last couple tournaments? I can tell you last year they lost to Princeton in round one. So, you know, Tommy Lloyd's had a tough time figuring that out. And then, yeah, my third one, I think a lot of people in Louisiana know them by now, but McNeese, man, I think, you know, this Gonzaga game they have in the first matchup is probably the toughest one they would have until if they can get to a Sweet 16 against Purdue possibly. But, you know, I think Will Wade's team has the ingredients of what you need to win in March. A lot of balance, a terrific point guard in Shahade Wells. Shahade Wells actually was at TCU last year, Gus. He lost to Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament. He played like 5 minutes. Do you think that guy has a little bit of, you know, revenge on his mind? The Southland Player of the Year, I'd say so. And look, Will Wade has been there and done it in the NCAA tournament. So I got a lot of respect for Mark Few. 25 straight tournaments for the Zags. They've been in the Sweet 16 for like a decade straight. But McNeese is the kind of team, they're built the kind of way to go on a little bit of a run in March for sure.
Hey, Jack, John Forkett here. So you think McNeese has a chance tonight against Gonzaga?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm betting them.
I think, I'm not telling anyone to lay down money. And stuff. You know, we're not.
No, it's too late. It's too late. He just hit the green button. Like yep, he just hit the green button. It's on you now, Jack.
They're getting like seven.
Hey, seven. I'm not taking blame for people's betting decisions, but I just say this, Johnny. In the NCAA tournament, you're talking about, you know, it's a one-game situation. You know, it's a beat Gonzaga. 4 out of 7 times, I wouldn't be picking McNeese to do that. But, you know, I think at some point now, you're talking about, you know, one-game scenario for betting purposes. It's a little different than when you're filling out a bracket. You know, at some point, you got to pick a couple upsets to occur. I just think that, you know, McNeese is the kind of team that can give a team of a higher caliber like Gonzaga problems because they shoot the three so well. They defend really well. You look at their defensive numbers. Yeah, they haven't played the hardest schedule in the world, but Will Wade has them as one of the top defensive teams in the country. And then the other thing that they do is they, you know, they force turnovers. They don't turn the ball over a lot themselves. A lot of these mid-majors, they shoot themselves in the foot because they just can't stop turning the ball over. They're so antsy and excited. I don't think these guys are going to beat themselves. Gonzaga's going to have to go and beat them. So, you know, I think the spread I saw earlier was 6.5, something like that. I think that's going to be one of the games the first round. I'll tell you another one I think will be really good too, another West Coast Conference team. St. Mary's playing Grand Canyon. That one I see is like a complete toss-up as well. I saw Grand Canyon earlier this year. I did it. Game for CBS Sports Network. I'm really impressed with Grand Canyon, Bryce Drew, and his team. St. Mary's, the problem is St. Mary's could go to the Final Four, they could lose in round one. That's a lot of the way. There are some teams that have that kind of ceiling and floor type thing with them. But, yeah, those two WCC teams, I'd say, are going to be in for dogfights today in round one.
Well, I'm looking at one right now. I just got here, and I mean, BYU getting beat by 8 points at halftime? BYU, I thought they would be a team that would pretty much dominate their first couple of
Mississippi State's back in it.
Yeah, it's weird watching these games early and some of these lower seeds competing with. You know, I thought BYU would have a chance to possibly get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's only halftime. Things are still very early. You know, that I think the number one thing I love texting with people during, you know, early on in tournament games. Nothing shifts more than an NCAA tournament game. You know, early on in it with the amount of the roller coaster ride it ends up being, but. The one thing I'll say about the BYU-Duquesne matchup, you know, I was on a show yesterday talking about this, and, you know, BYU for a long time, as you guys know, I've told Gus this a million times, I went to Santa Clara, so I'm very familiar with the West Coast Conference. BYU was in the WCC for a long, long time. They just joined the Big 12 this year. They don't quite have the roster makeup yet of, you know, what a usual Baylor, Kansas State, you know, your typical Houston, your typical Big 12 blue bloods who have those kind of rosters. BYU still has the kind of recruits for the West Coast Conference. So they are much more evenly matched against a team like Duquesne, who played in the Atlantic 10. Duquesne, look, they weren't going to be an at-large team, but they had a great run in the Atlantic 10 tournament. And, Yeah, look, anything can happen in March. And you know, BYU has had some struggles in the NCAA tournament for whatever reason the last couple of years. But, they weren't great down the stretch in Big 12 play. But, look, it's only halftime. Things could certainly turn around. But, yeah, I don't think I would have been betting on them to make a deep run this year.
All right, asking for several friends that went to North Carolina and have some Duke ties, if you know what I'm saying, that are part of the Pelicans radio network here. What about those two schools? Look, new coaches, right, starting their own eras here as well, Jack. Can Duke, can UNC, they got some dynamic players here as well. Can they make a deep run, maybe get to the Final Four and kind of start their new eras post-Roy Williams, post-Coach K?
I would say that I would say I probably like UNC's, you know, kind of the draw they have a little bit more than Duke's. You know, part of it's the nature of the seed line, but part of it too is I just think, you know, North Carolina, they could, it looks like they might get Michigan State if they can, you know, they get by Wagner in round two. I don't know. I feel like, you know, I think they've got a pretty deep team. The job that Hubert Davis has done has been pretty good. You know, he's got a lot of guys, remember, Gus, who were on that national championship team. At least they made a national title game here in New Orleans a couple of years ago. So there's a lot of experience still on that team. Of course, the one outlier is this guy, Caleb Love, who was, you know, the star guard on that team, and now he's in Arizona, and Arizona is the two seed in their region. But if they can get to that point and playing in the Elite Eight, you know, they probably take their chances. You know, Duke's tricky. They've had some bad losses this year. They've had some incredible wins. John Shire's team, it's one of those, you know, you look at teams who fluctuate, and you get red hot in March. Yeah, Duke's the kind of team, they can get on a run, they can win a national title, but I don't know. I kind of look at, you know, them running into, you know, potentially a hot James Madison team or a Wisconsin team around two. Obviously, I've got a lot of respect for what, you know, Houston can do defensively in that portion of the bracket, and I think it's a pretty loaded region overall that Duke's got to get through. You know, they've got Kentucky in the bottom part of the quadrant, along with Marquette, albeit they're a little injury rattled. But I would say UNC, you give them a little bit of a better shot for making a deep run. But would it shock me one bit for Duke to get out of the South and make a Final Four? No. Would it shock me for them to lose to Vermont? Yes. I'd be stunned if Vermont knocks them off in round one.
You got one for a year. The Big Ten champion, Illinois, playing Morehead State. What do you think of that one?
I like Illinois a lot. Look, I by the way, I'm telling you guys all this stuff. Of course, everything I say now is going to go, you know, it's going to go out the window here in a second. But Illinois, I like a lot, man. They've got a guy named Terrence Shannon, who's one of the best players in the country. He just completely took over. Just put this in perspective. You guys know how hard it is to score, in college basketball. Obviously, it's easier to score, I guess, now than it used to be at the 3-point line. But you know, they only play a 40-minute game. Guys are only on the court, you know, for 30 minutes or whatever. He scored 40 points in the Big Ten semis. He scored 36 points in the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin. So, you know, that guy can explode. They got this guy, Marcus Damask, who transferred in from Southern Illinois. I think those two form a really good backcourt. You know, Illinois is the kind of team that could give UConn some problems if they can get to an Elite Eight and, you know, potentially be a thorn in the side of UConn. I look at that bracket, you know, the UConn, I got to say, I don't know what UConn did to the committee to deserve this. I think UConn got a brutal draw as a one seed in the defending champs. I mean, I think Auburn and Bruce Pearl, you guys are in SEC country, they've got that thing rolling. They just won an SEC title. I got a lot of respect for Iowa State, who just destroyed Houston in the Big 12 title game. And then Illinois just won the Big 10 tournament title. So that's a really hard region for UConn. It's hard to pick against them. But, I think Illinois in that bracket, I think they got as much of a chance as anyone.
Hey, man, Chef Scotty here. I'm asking you a question a little bit off kilter here. The future of LSU basketball, they had a better year. You know, I'm doing this because John's such a negative Nelly.
No.
They had a surprisingly decent year compared to what McMahon had to take over last year. But then they bowed out in the NIT tournament, you know, in front of 2,000 fans. It was kind of hard to watch. But what do you think of the future of LSU basketball?
Yeah, you know, I like Matt McMahon as a coach. I think the part of the problem, you know, you got to, in today's day and age, you guys know this better than anyone. I'll tell you what, LSU baseball can kind of be the example of this. You get, when you go to the portal and you go heavy on the portal, you better hit on some of those guys, because if you miss, you know, you're going to be in trouble. And I think, you know, you look at a lot of the portal acquisitions, but, you know, I think the number one thing that I look at with this team, I remember calling the I mean, Gus and I chatted after Nichols beat them, you know, in early November in the non-conference. And I remember looking at that LSU team and just thinking, wow, this is not at all what Matt McMahon envisioned because, you know, Jalen Cook at the time was not eligible. They got him as the first-team all-conference guy from Tulane, and he only played in 13 games this year. You know, Jordan Wright came over from Vanderbilt, but he had a pretty, you know, inefficient season. I think Will Baker got off to a decent start and then didn't quite pan out. And, look, Carlos Stewart's someone who I know really well from his time at Santa Clara. They brought him in as a big transfer, and he just didn't really pan out. So, you know, you gotta make sure you can hit if you're going to go to the portal and reload your roster the way they did. I don't think the future is you know, bleak. I don't know if you can say it's incredibly bright right now, but I think LSU basketball is an okay spot, assuming that they can build out the roster the right way and that they can have guys actually playing the way they need to next year, whether it be injuries or obviously they had the two-time transfer rule that got passed in December this year. But, I mean, the SEC, it's part of what's going on right now. The SEC is about to be loaded in basketball. You think about Oklahoma under Porter Moser has done a really good job, and Texas is an NCAA tournament team again under Rodney over there, Rodney Terry over there. So, you know, the conference is getting deeper. They better retool pretty quickly. I think that's going to be a major priority of the staff in the offseason. But I'm not going to rule them out from being able to turn this thing around by next year for, you know, possibly making an NCAA tournament.
Jack Benjamin, thanks. Jack Benjamin, PXP, the way to go. Follow over on X. I have no idea how you know that much information.
I was just blown away at the info that he's got on LSU.
Well, this is why I'm like, dude, if and you want to come on, please, because I could not possibly have broken down so many
that
games in a tournament.
Out of the blue.
Yeah, well, that's why he's on.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, sir.
No, you got Gus, I'll tell you what, man. If you want me on every week talking NCAA tournament and picks for people, happy to do it, man. I love this. You know I live for this stuff, so I'm happy to do it.
If you're in town, because I know you're going to be calling an SEC baseball tournament here, but or game or series, come in town, man. Katie's or Francesca, if it's a Thursday.
Yeah. We'll make it happen for sure. Hey, appreciate you guys. Enjoy the madness. Remember, it is madness, so expect the unexpected old stuff.
No doubt. Sounds good. Jack Benjamin, thank you so much for the time. As he joined us on the Ruderman Cam hotline and guest line, 800-998-1003, RudermanCam.com, 262-8222. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
003. What a chime into the conversation. John 4K. Chef Scotty's gone upstairs to make sure there's some extra room because I think half the city of New Orleans is outside trying to get any lunch here. Goodness, it gets so busy
Thursday,
so quickly,
huh?
Here as well.
Yeah,
I cannot wait for you. Normally, I wait for you.
I know, for the onion rings.
And we always start with the onion rings, and then we'll get something to eat.
So you got shrimp today, huh?
I've now called it the trusty shrimp po' boy.
You can't go wrong.
It is absolutely always consistent.
Today's Friday.
No, it's Thursday. It is always consistent. Okay. It is always delicious. It's out quick. I can try to kind of eat it quickly.
I just saw that chicken
sandwich. Because the size of the shrimp are so big that, in a bite, there's about two of them.
I'm going to tell you the size of some serious shrimp. Uh-huh. The other day, last week, I was eating, you know, I'm not throwing people. But Drago's, I had a shrimp plate. Oh, my God. They were huge. I couldn't even eat them all. They must have been 15 of them on a plate.
Wow.
There you go. They were big. Look at that buffalo chicken sandwich. What do you think?
Oh, that sounds like you. Don't you like the buffalo sauce?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I love me some. I go Three Mile Island.
I got to go hot. You and your hot. That Hooters is unbelievable. You're the only guy I know can.
Three Mile Island?
Yeah, you look like a mess when you eat.
Oh, I sweat. Yeah. I mean, I'm a sweaty
mess.
You got
it all on your hands, yeah. Your paper towels.
Just wait for draft night.
Yeah. Oh, can't wait for that night.
The only thing that might prevent that is if I have a game. You know, near New Orleans Pelicans. Playoff game, baby. I mean, y'all can do it.
I don't need you.
Oh, man. 800-998-1003 on the Ruderman. Ken, guest and caller hotline. Give us your Final Four. Give us your national championship. Who do you have when it comes to March Madness and the tournament? Who's your Final Four, John?
I didn't even do a bracket, but if I had
you didn't do a bracket.
You?
Yeah, I did a bracket.
I didn't do one. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I was so busy, man. I've been busy. I mean, obviously, I'm gonna go with Purdue, UConn, North Carolina. Purdue, UConn, North Carolina, and the next one's it's a toss up. I'm gonna throw in somebody that's probably not even on the list of people looking at, But it's hard to say. I mean, you got to pick some Auburn. I'm going to say Auburn. I hope they're not the same brackets. I don't even know if they are or aren't.
I got UConn over UNC on the left side of the bracket over there. And on the right side, Marquette over Kansas. I got Marquette and Kansas, UConn and UNC in the Final Four.
Kansas.
I don't know. I
they
just went
struggle.
With I hear you.
I'm betting heavy on them tonight against Samford.
General D says look out for Samford. He's predicting a 13-4 upset. He's predicting Kansas doesn't get out of this one.
General D, you
I'm just telling you.
Shouldn't you be at the gym right now or something?
He probably is. Way? No, yeah, that's what exactly where he's at. Yeah,
pump some on or something, you know, because your brain's a little off right now.
That's exactly how it works.
Samford, that's what I said. Kansas is not at full strength. There's something wrong with Kansas.
Right. No, I know. Now that I say that, I wish I could have.
Yeah, I looked at him and.
Why did I pick him in the Final Four?
They got one guy coming back that's going to, supposed to be, he said he's going to play. He's
right.
Like the big man.
How surprised are you? Because I did have Mississippi State, so I'm going to go down on this one. They
down.
Are trailing 41-29 now. There's still 16 minutes left.
It's 59-45.
59-45?
Yeah. Where are you at?
Well, this thing didn't refresh then.
No, dude.
I'm going to have to get on Chef Scotty here.
Yeah,
the Wi-Fi is a little slow.
I'll tell you the score. It's 60-45, Michigan State with 7:25.
Well, it's still a lead, Michigan State.
Michigan State.
There it is. 60-45,
well,
7 minutes left.
It beats 29-something, 41-29.
I didn't say that, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Duquesne, 38-30, 19:43 left in the second. They're just getting underway in the second half
over
BYU. I
took BYU minus 9.
I did, too. Akron and Creighton underway. Is this closer than you thought? Creighton, a lot of people thought, is one of the better teams in that Midwest region.
I almost took them
27-25, 7:38 in the first half.
Yeah, that was a little shocker there because they were up, actually. When we first sat down here, they were up by like 5 or 6, 7 points when I first sat down. And then I look at it, now they're only up by 2. It's early in the first quarter. Look, dude, I lucked out on some games last night. You know, teams had to go to overtime for me to cover. You know, like, thank you. You know, that's, you know, but it is so far. You look at these teams, we don't know what's going to happen, but there's going to be some, I think this year there'll be some upsets. There'll be some high seed. Beating somebody, a low seed.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, I wanted to ask you this. Ask Chef Scotty this. You know the story with Long Beach State?
Yeah,
huh?
They fired. Well, he resigned, fired, whatever,
well,
you, want
whatever you want to look
yeah,
at.
Munson.
Then they're like, go ahead. He was the former coach of Gonzaga.
Right, correct.
Before the new guy took
right.
over and won an Natty. So they said, go ahead and coach the tournament. He wins the tournament.
Wins the tournament.
And now he's in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
The dude did his press conference yesterday. He had no players. I guess they don't want the players next to him.
Wow.
Did you notice that? He did his pregame presser answering questions, and he was like, hey, look, it's the best time of my life. I know I got a job and found out what's important and what's not. I'm like, this is just crazy. It's unbelievable.
Ooh, they got a fight going on.
What?
They got a fight in the BYU. They jumping down on the ground.
But, man, it was it was crazy to look at. I'm trying to find a cut of what he had to say because it was kind of, you know.
Yeah,
I
heard that. I was, like, shocked when I found out that he was by himself.
Literally, by himself. Just hanging out. So that's coming up at 1 o'clock on TBS, taking on Arizona. Wagner in North Carolina coming up at 1:45 on CBS, at 2:10 on True TV. Morehead State in Illinois. That's a game you're apparently closely watching.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oregon.
I'm going to watch.
Taking on South Carolina. The Ducks won the Pac-12 championship.
They did.
Can they get one win here? 3 o'clock TNT over South Carolina.
No, I think South Carolina is going to take care of business.
Take care of business.
Yeah.
Right? Nevada and Dayton.
Ooh.
That's, you like, that's a 10-7 matchup.
Yeah, that's a
3:30 p.m. on
TBS. I think Nevada's pretty good. I really do.
Well, they're favored by 1.5. Colorado State and Texas. This is a 10-7 matchup. Colorado State's already played a game in the play-in. Now, let me ask you this. Can it be sort of like football where if you already have one game under your belt?
Yeah, what you're saying.
You know what I'm getting at? Look,
yep.
I mean, the nervousness, not that Colorado State would be nervous and all that, but still, it's almost like you're playing with house money to an extent a little bit, you know, or something of that nature. I don't know. What do you think?
I think Texas is somehow going to get through this. Colorado State had to win the other night. It wasn't an
right.
easy game.
Right.
And they won
just,
that game.
Texas reminds me of like Notre Dame in the Big
Yeah, game. That's the only thing
they're supposed to be good, but I don't trust them.
I don't trust them.
Does that make any sense?
It's not one game that I'm really looking forward to put anything on it, but I probably are.
We'll go after over the evening games when we come back, because hour one is in the books. No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing over on the Gulf Coast and kayaks. 1926 Airline Drive at Metairie. Give us a buzz on the Ruderman Can caller hotline. I want your final four, your natty. This is Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.